The third point this was raised is that DWS needs to strengthen its oversight on job creation for community members if and when utilising the services of the private sector. Our response in this regard is that municipalities and other implementing agents do engage in social facilitation prior to the commencement of a project, where employment opportunities are discussed with the community. And so that social facilitation takes place during the implementation of the project as well to try and ensure a good working relationship between the community and the contractors. The municipalities and the other implementing agents which are implementing our grant projects are further required to submit labour forms, which have to be signed by the participants and beneficiaries, and certified copies of IDs as a portfolio of evidence related to local employment creation. And we endeavour to ensure that these reports are submitted within proper time frames. We look at those reports and we monitor and the job creation to local community members on all the projects funded through the grants. And we look at whether the jobs created are meet the contractual commitments of the contractors who are appointed. If our on-site monitoring and reviewing of the reports that are submitted to us indicates that there's a problem related to local employment in the project, we will engage with the municipality or implementing agent to seek a resolution. We are in the process of strengthening our monitoring of that issue through site visits and reviewing the monthly reports. And the local ward council is also involved in social facilitation in this regard in the projects. And we want to do that more in future as well and encourage increased local ward council involvement in social facilitation in the project. The second document that we were asked to present on is our responses to the National Assembly on resolutions of the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation Sector Issues. And here four issues were raised. Firstly, that we should develop an institutional framework or guidelines to clearly define the roles, responsibilities and accountability within the entire water and sanitation value chain. Secondly, that we should promote good governance in the water sector institutions, ensuring separation of policy making, shareholding and regulatory functions. Thirdly, we should ensure that the blue and green drop assessments comply with statutory requirements, which deal with discharging effluent wastewater into streams and rivers. And fourthly, we should provide a report together with respective water boards with associated timeframes on an action plan to provide concrete and tangible results on debt collection, governance issues, and water boards amalgamation to establish regional utilities. The first point we'd like to make here is that there is an existing legal framework that does clarify the roles and responsibilities of the different spheres of government with regards to water services in the country. I'm not going to go through this slide in detail, but this slide covers all the key parts of the Constitution and the Water Services Act, which clarify exactly what national government is responsible for with regard to water and sanitation, and what municipalities are responsible for, and what the water boards are responsible for. It is our view as the department that, generally speaking, there isn't really any problems with these constitutional and legal provisions, and that we are clear, and it is clear from this, what are the responsibilities of the three spheres of government and entities such as the water boards. One of the things that we are required to do in terms of the National Water Act is develop the National Water Resource Strategy, which basically provides a framework within which all these institutions need to work in terms of water resource management and provision. That framework includes protection, use, development, conservation, management and control of water resources for the country, and therefore make sure that all of these different spheres, the two spheres of governments, national and local, and other institutions such as the water boards, coordinated and work within the same policy framework. There is an existing National Water Resource Strategy, but we're in the process of finalizing the third edition, which is currently out for public consultation. Next slide, please. And to further enhance the roles and functions of the departments and entities, we are in the process of establishing the remaining catchment management agencies in six water management areas corresponding to six catchment management agencies, two of which are currently operational. I'm going to have some more slides just now on the reconfiguration of the water boards. We are in the process of working towards establishing the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. The bill has been gazetted for public comments. There'll be more on that in later slides. And we are in the process of transforming irrigation boards into water use associations. All of these actions are aimed at refining the institutional framework in the country and making sure that it more closely matches the legislative and constitutional requirements. So this slide just explains at a very high level roles and responsibilities with regard to water. The hand-drawn black line that goes from top to bottom in the middle of the slide is the differentiation between national government responsibilities and municipal responsibilities in terms of the Constitution. As we know, the Constitution states that water distribution, water services are a municipal function. So everything to the right of that line is a municipal function in terms of the Constitution. The DWS, in terms of the Constitution, is responsible for water resource development, catchment agencies, water user associations, for bulk infrastructure, such as the large dams and associated bulk infrastructure, such as canals. Water treatment works, bulk water treatment lines, distribution reservoirs, connected pipelines, in terms of the Constitution, are all forms of municipal infrastructure. They're all parts of water distribution and water services. When the Water Services Act enables DWS to set up water boards, it says that those water boards are being set up to assist municipalities with their municipal water services functions. So the water boards actually provide municipal, in terms of the constitutional, municipal water services functions, and that's why in order to operate, the water boards, in terms of the Water Services Act and in terms of other legislation as well, have to be appointed as water service providers by the municipalities, by the water services authorities, to provide the municipalities with support in terms of delivering their water services functions. So the cycle of the water is that it goes from the catchment to the dams. From the dams, it goes through bulk distribution infrastructure to the water treatment works. Some of the water treatment works fall under the water boards. Some municipalities have their own water treatment works. Some very large industries, like Statoil, for example, have their own water treatment works. Some government departments, like Public Works, have their own water treatment works. After the water treatment works, water goes through bulk water pipelines to distribution reservoirs. Distribution reservoirs are usually directly controlled by municipalities for municipal infrastructure, and the municipalities distribute the water to human settlements and to industries in their area. Once the water has been utilized, it then enters the wastewater system and goes through sewage pipes to wastewater treatment works, where there's reticulated wastewater treatment. It goes through sewage pump stations and goes to wastewater treatment works. Once it's been treated to the, supposed to be treated to the required effluent quality, it then goes back into the river. So you can see there's a whole cycle of water that's from the river, it goes into the sea. From the sea, it then often evaporates, and then it rains again, goes back into the catchment, and the water circulates in the system. But as I indicated, this slide is indicating the roles and responsibilities in terms of the constitution and the legislation, which we think is fairly clear as to what are the various roles and responsibilities. Next slide, please. The second point that we're asked to talk to is that we should promote good governance in the water sector institutions, thereby ensuring separation of policy making, shareholding, and regulatory functions. So again, we think the existing legal frameworks do promote good governance in the water sector institutions. The minister is the executive authority and shareholder responsible for appointing members of the water sector institutions such as the Water Research Commission, the TCTA, and the water boards. The boards of the water sector institutions are the accounting authorities in terms of the PFMA and are fully accountable to the shareholder. The minister and the boards do conclude shareholder compacts annually, which serves as a performance contract between the shareholder and the boards. And they also submit corporate plans and budgets annually to the Minister and to National Treasury. Corporate plans contain implementation details to attain the key performance measures and indicators outlined in the shareholder compact and are tabled in Parliament. So, honourable members, you can see from this that there is a system for ensuring the separation of policy-making shareholding functions and implementation functions, and that there are measures in place to govern the operation of the system. The department continuously updates and benchmarks the shareholders' compact models and the quarterly reports public entities reporting to the minister to strengthen and monitor the performance of entities and to strengthen accountability to the minister. The third area that we were asked to report on is to ensure that the blue and green draft assessments comply with statutory requirements which deal with discharging effluent wastewater to streams and rivers. The first point to make here is that the blue and green draft assessments have been designed to fully comply with all the statutory requirements. They are regulatory tools which have been developed within the statutory framework of the Water Services Act and the National Water Act, and they assess the performance of the water supply systems and wastewater systems respectively in terms of that statutory framework. Section 62 of the Water Services Act mandates the department to monitor the performance of water services institutions, while the department is mandated to authorize water use in terms of Section 21 of the National Water Act. Discharge of effluents is Section 21F water use, and all water users discharging into a water resource must apply to the department for an authorization. The water use authorization has set conditions and standards that the water user must comply with. So what the blue and green drop assessments do is that they check in detail for every water system and wastewater system in the country under the municipality. We check in detail whether or not they are adhering to their license conditions and adhering to all the other statutory requirements. So when we carry out that assessment, you will see from the Green Drop report, it's a very bulky report covering all the wastewater systems in the country in a large amount of detail. We provide those reports to the individual municipalities, but we don't only provide the municipalities with an assessment of the state of their wastewater systems. In the same report, it identifies why the systems are in the state that they're in. And it also identifies what needs to be done to improve the condition of the system. So the blue and green drop assessments are actually, in addition to regulatory mechanisms, they are also support mechanisms to municipalities. Because if the municipalities were to use the reports as intended and to study the reasons in the reports for the non-compliance, and take heed of the recommendations, what needs to be done to improve the system, then the municipalities would be able to address the issues and improve their wastewater treatment system. And similarly for the Blue Drop reports they would be able to improve their water services system. What we did with the Green Drop report after we issued it is that we required the worst performing municipalities to submit action plans to address the issues, and we offered support to municipalities to develop the action plans, and further offered support to the municipalities to address all the shortcomings. Unfortunately, to date, only a small fraction, I think it's about 20 out of 60 or 70 of the municipalities who were required to submit action plans, have submitted action plans since we issued that Green Drop report in March. So we've been writing follow-up correspondence to those municipalities, and if they still fail to provide action plans, we will have to take further, more punitive action against those municipalities for failing to act in terms of our directives to put in place action plans to address the shortcomings found in the Green Drop report. Right. We will do the same with the final Blue Drop report once it's released. Next slide, please. The fourth area that we are to report on is to provide a report together with the respective water boards with associated timeframes on action plans that provide concrete and tangible results on debt collection, governance issues, and water boards amalgamation to establish regional utilities. To deal with the issue of debt collection first, we believe this is a key priority for the department. The problem of municipalities not paying the water boards and being in debt to the water boards, and the water boards in turn not being able to pay the department's water trading entity, is a threat to the financial sustainability of the whole water sector. And therefore, we've prioritized working with the water boards and municipalities to try and improve the situation. We have developed recently, we had a workshop with the water boards and National Treasury and COGTA and SALGA to develop strategies to improve billing and revenue collection in the water sector. And we agreed that we will do various things to try and address the problem. The first is that we agreed that bulk prepaid meters should be installed incrementally by the water boards. That means that the water boards will require payment before providing water to municipalities, where the municipalities have a poor record of paying. The second is that we have a draft, we want to finalize it soon, of a standard operating procedure for billing and revenue collection for all the water boards and for the department's water trading entity, so that there's a consistent approach by the department and the water and all the water boards in terms of credit control measures and other measures to deal with non-paying municipalities. We are also going to use incentive-based credit control mechanisms. What this refers to, for an example of an incentive-based credit control mechanism, might be, for example, where there's a where the water board enters into an agreement with the municipality that if the municipality establishes a good record of paying its current invoices, then incrementally over time, its old debts to the water board can be written off. And we would also then simultaneously write off the old debt from the water board to our water trading entity. That could provide an incentive, strong incentive to the municipalities to meet their current invoices. In the worst situations, we need to become more consistent in terms of taking even further measures, such as attaching municipal bank accounts where necessary, where there's serial non-payment by municipalities to water boards. We also have agreed with Treasury that we will collaborate with them to more consistently and increasingly ensure that equitable share allocations are withheld from municipalities which don't pay the water boards. Next slide, please. In terms of governance, this slide summarizes the current situation with regard to governance for all the different water boards in the country. I won't go through the slide in detail water board by water board. It's really to provide information for the members. I would suggest, Chairperson, if there's any questions on particular aspects of governance for any of the water reports, we could address them afterwards. But you can see we've given an indication in this table for each water board, whether the board is in place, what is happening with it, the number of board vacancies, what's the situation with regard to the appointment of the CEO and the CFO, whether the corporate plan was submitted on time, the audit outcomes, and the audit outcomes. The next two slides provide details on where we are with the reconfiguration of the water boards. The Minister has talked to this a little. Again, in the interest of time, Chairperson, I won't go through these detailed slides, but you can see from the slides that for the reconfiguration taking place, we've given an indication of what exactly is happening with the reconfiguration, what is the progress to date, and what are the timeframes with regard to the reconfiguration. So these two slides comprehensively provide the members with a picture of how the water boards are being reconfigured and also what is the progress and the timeframes. Just to make two overall points in regard to this. The first is that in the question that was posed, that this is responding to, the question referred to the amalgamation of the water boards into regional water utility. That is not what this is about. There was a time when there was a policy proposal within the department to create regional water utilities, but this is not implementing that policy proposal. That policy proposal wasn't taking forward, and there is currently no process within the department to create, in inverted commas, regional water utilities. These two slides describe the process of reconfiguring the water boards as water boards, not as some kind of new regional water utility. The second point to make, Chairperson, is that in several instances, a part of the reconfiguration involves making sure that water boards provide services to all the areas in a particular province where their services are required. For example, for the fairly northern water, part of the reconfiguration is saying that the fairly northern water must provide services to all areas in Limpopo where their services are required. And the similar for Overberg water in the Western Cape. But as I indicated earlier, Chairperson, that doesn't mean that that the water boards are going to automatically take over some functions of municipalities. Because as I indicated earlier, for water board to provide a service to a municipality, the municipality has to appoint it as a water service provider. So the municipality has to agree to the services, to use the services of a water board. But the intention of this is to ensure that where municipalities do need and want the services of a water board, we are able to provide that throughout the country. And that's one of the measures that we've taken through this reconfiguration of the water boards. Next slide, please. The third issue we will also respond on is relates to the resolutions on the APP for the 22-23 financial year. So the first thing that we are to report on is provide details on whether we're considering public-private partnerships to develop mega infrastructure projects. The second is to clarify the slow progress in finalising the National Water Act and the Water Services Act and how these delays will affect the long overdue water allocation transformation. The third is that the department should provide a progress report on the National Sanitation Framework to ensure that the country's bucket system is eliminated in terms of normal standards. The fourth is that the Portfolio Committee recommends collaboration with government departments such as DGI, OCTA and the WRC to ensure the uptake of innovative products and technology. And the fifth one was that we should provide a detailed response on the modalities, including a roadmap with timeframes to establish the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. With regard to the first one, whether we're considering public-private partnerships to develop mega infrastructure projects, we are doing that. with the mining houses in Limpopo and the Northern Cape. The first of these is already in the implementation phase, which is the Olifant Management Model, which is a 24 billion rand project involving the construction of a bulk pipeline from the Burg Dam to Olifantsburg, as well as another bulk pipeline from Flagbosch Yellow Dam to Mogalakwena. This is very important for the development of the mining sector in Limpopo and will enable new mines to be opened through providing water to those areas through these bulk pipelines. But in addition to providing the bulk pipeline, the project also includes water distribution infrastructure to 94 villages adjacent to the pipeline, to villages which currently do not have water for domestic use for the people living in those villages. And the partnership involves an agreement between DWS and the Nebalera Water Users Association, which is largely an association of mining houses which are water users in the area, in terms of which DWS and the Nebalera Water Users Association will each fund 50% of the project, with the Water Users Association as the implementing agent. The Minister launched the project last year and is currently in the construction phase, and we are in an advanced stage of negotiations and discussions with Mogalakwena local municipality and Tekukuni district municipality regarding the distribution infrastructure. We are also negotiating with mining houses in the Northern Cape to implement a similar joint project to refurbish and expand the Balsa Makara water scheme, which will be in the region of 10 billion rand, and which will similarly also include distribution of water to communities in addition to bulk provision of bulk water to the mine. And we are currently finalising an agreement to enable that project to proceed with the mining houses in the area. We are also exploring similar partnerships in the agricultural sector for the Waalharts and Oranje Riet irrigation schemes. And further to these partnerships with the mining houses and irrigate agricultural sector for mega projects, we are also working towards helping municipalities to put in place partnerships with the private sector for municipal services, for municipal water services. And in that regard, we've established a water partnership office with the DBSA in Salta, which is located in the DBSA, but which is chaired by a steering committee led by a steering committee which I chair, with other DWS officials and DBSA and Salta people, which is being funded by National Treasury as a specialist unit to provide support to municipalities on the, entering into public-private partnerships for water services in areas like non-revenue water and water reuse. The second area was that we should clarify the slow progress in finalising the National Water Act and the Water Services Act and how these delays will affect the long overdue water allocation transformation. We agree, Honourable Chair, that the department, that there have been delays and it has taken a long time for the department to work on the amendments to the National Water Act and Water Services Act. In part, progress has been hampered by frequent changes in political administrative leadership in the department, which has resulted in changes in policy positions and priorities. So, for example, in somewhere around 2019, the former minister requested that the two acts be amalgamated into one act, and the department did draft an amalgamated act at that time. But around 2021, a different minister changed this decision, and the department is instructed to go back to separate amendment bills for the two acts. Minister Mthunu is also of the view that it makes sense legally to have the act separate, and we are working on those separate amendment bills for the two acts. We are closer to going to cabinet with the National Water Act than with the Water Services Act, and I will explain why in that regard. Minister Mthunu has changed the department's focus with regards to municipal water services. Since becoming minister, we now have a water services branch, which we didn't have before, and we are now supporting and intervening in municipalities around the country on a scale that the department has never done before, in line with the legislative and constitutional mandates of the department. As a result of that work with municipalities, we are finding out that we are learning that certain things should change in the future if we're going to be more effective in supporting in the municipalities, and certain changes might be required to the Water Services Act. These relationships between the national government and municipalities, particularly with regards to support and intervention, are legally complex. Because of that, we've asked the Water Research Commission to work with us to carry out detailed research on possible amendments to the Water Services Act to enable us to strengthen our role with regards to support and intervention in municipalities. One of the things that they are looking at with us include, for example, the possibility of having of the Water Services Act requiring that water services providers be licensed by the national department. But if we're going to do something like that, we need to make sure that it's effective and that it has the desired impact. And that is where it becomes very complicated. And we would like to complete this research. We're also looking in terms of this research at examples of other countries, including Zambia and Kenya and Uganda, where they've introduced changes to their water services sectors and moved more towards a professional water utility model, more at arm's length from the political leadership of municipalities while still retaining it as a municipal function. And we are looking at those examples and examples of other countries as well, which have been fairly successful in terms of reforms in their water services sector. So rather than take a piecemeal approach of bringing changes to Parliament, we'd like to complete that research on reform in the water services sector and then be sure about our amendments to the Water Services Act before bringing that to Parliament. But in terms of the National Water Act, we are close to finalising the amendments and taking them to Cabinet. The State Law Advisor has recently given us a go-ahead to submit the draft amendment bill to Cabinet to request Cabinet's approval for public consultation on the bill. And we will be submitting the amendment bill to the clusters shortly as the first step to taking it to Cabinet. The amendments do include measures to increase the equitable allocation of water and the protection of water resource areas that were not previously afforded protection. Just as a side point, Honourable Chair, we are also currently awaiting judgment from the Constitutional Court on the interpretation of Clause 25 of the National Water Act. There's a case currently before the Constitutional Court in this regard, which will have an impact on the transformation of water use allocation, and that judgment may have an influence on the amendments to that section of the Act. Next slide, please. The third point was that the department should provide a progress report on its national sanitation framework to ensure that the country's bucket system is eliminated in terms of norms and standards. In this regard, we did submit the national sanitation framework to Cabinet for approval late last year. Unfortunately, it hasn't yet been able to get onto the agenda of Cabinet, but we believe that it will be presented. It will be on the agenda of Cabinet meeting in February. The National Sanitation Framework provides a policy framework which will form the basis for revising the minimum norms and standards for sanitation to make them more equitable and to align them with technology developments in the sector. The framework also provides for strengthened monitoring of compliance to these norms and standards and strengthening of governance structures in the sector. It provides a policy basis for a review of service standards and also clarifies that forms of sanitation such as the bucket system are unacceptable and may not be implemented by municipalities, including in informal settlements. Many municipalities are currently still in new informal settlements, providing bucket systems, and that is popping up many municipalities around the country all the time. Our intention is to use the National Sanitation Framework, once it's approved by Cabinet, as a policy basis to issue new norms and standards, which make clear that it is completely unacceptable for a municipality to issue bucket systems in new informal settlements or in any informal settlements. The National Sanitation Framework also sets out measures to improve service delivery, such as a range of support measures in various forms. and we will develop an implementation plan for the framework once it's been approved by Cabinet. The fourth issue that we were asked to report on is our response to Portfolio Committee's recommendation that we collaborate with departments such as DA, DGI, COGTA, and others to ensure that innovative WRC products and technology. The WRC does collaborate with various departments and entities in academia and the general public to ensure that there is uptake for on its research development. And that includes WRT providing scientific support to governments to manage and protect water resources. And so those innovations are used in that support that's provided by the WRT to governments. The WRC does respond to our strategic objectives. The WRC does respond to our strategic objectives and works closely with us and assists us in a variety of ways and uses its research and technologies when it provides support to DWS. It widely disseminates its research reports, technical briefs to enable knowledge sharing in the sector, as well as having knowledge sharing events and public dialogue, workshops and conferences in collaboration with various industrial sectors, as well as those other national departments. In this regard, Honourable Chairperson, I must say, in my experience, the other national departments, such as, in particular, for example, the Department of Science and Technology, have very close working relationships with the Water Research Commission, and that they and the DTIC do rely on the Water Research Commission and do respect and utilise the research developed by the Water Research Commission. There are currently consultations going on between the Water Research Commission and the Chief Procurement Office in National Treasury about the possibility to include the promotion of innovation products as an option in public procurement as part of the preferential procurement, the application of preferential procurement, but those discussions aren't yet finalised. The fifth area that we were asked to report on is that the department should provide a detailed response on the modalities, including a roadmap of timeframes to establish the National Water Resources Infrastructure Agency. In that regard, we previously presented to the committee that the NWRIA is required to enable us to raise much more money in future for the mega investments we need to make in national water resource infrastructure. And that to do that, we plan to amalgamate the CCTA, the water trading entity in the department, and the infrastructure branch of the department into one entity, which will also own all the national water resource infrastructure, including the dams and associated infrastructure, and therefore will have a very substantial balance sheet with associated revenue streams and will be able to raise significantly more finance on the back of that balance sheet and revenue streams without requiring guarantees from National Treasury. So the progress to date is that we did develop the proposal and the business plan. We consulted in detail with National Treasury on the business plan. And the business plan is almost ready for submission to the Minister of Finance. We only want to submit it once to the Minister of Finance, so we haven't submitted yet. We want to see if there's any changes to the bill before we submit the business plan to the Minister of Finance for approval. So we will do that during the course of this year as the bill goes through the various processes. With regard to the bill was submitted to Cabinet, and Cabinet approved that the bill be gazetted for public consultation. We've been very busy over the past couple of months with public consultation on the bill. Had wide-ranging consultations with various stakeholder groupings, including NEDLAC and the current lenders of the CCTA. Those two stakeholders groupings in particular asked for more comprehensive consultations, NEDLAC has requested the business and labour constituencies at NEDLAC have requested that the NEDLAC task team is established to review the bill, which is one of the standard processes at NEDLAC, and we've agreed that that should happen. And in addition, the current lenders to the TCTA have requested that an independent financial and legal review be undertaken of the risks, potential risks to the existing loans of the creation of the to the TCTA of the creation through the creation of the NWRIA, and we've agreed to carry out that independent financial and legal review as well. As a result of that, our timeframe for establishing the NWRIA have had to move out a little bit to enable these consultation processes to be done thoroughly and completely. And we need to complete the task team process in NEDLAC and the independent financial and legal review with the lenders to the TCTA before closing the consultation process and going back to cabinet with a recommendation that there will be submitted to Parliament. Given in that context, our current time frame are that the bill would be tabled in Parliament by June this year, that it could be passed by October this year, and that once it's advanced and it's processing by Parliament, we would get approval from the Minister of Finance for the business case, and then once the bill has been passed into an act, then the minister could take the first steps towards establishing the NWRIA by January next year. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That covers all the areas that we will ask to report on.
Come in.
Chairperson. Yes, yes. I'm in a road checking problem, yes. But I can hear you. I can hear you.
The presentation is done.
Yes, our government is moving away from the area where I was. I was listening. There we are. I do have one or two questions to ask, but let me allow the member one to start. Let me not start now. Can I see the end? I see the end of Honorable Mutala, Honorable Seki, that's part of those two ends. Honorable Tikwai, okay, let's start. Others will come later, I assume. Even myself, I'll come later. Honorable Mutala.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson of the session. Chair, today, let me just say that is a very good presentation and good input by the DG of the portfolio. But the concern is, Chairperson, you know, we are sitting here, when I was listening to the minister before the DG can come, we are sitting here listening to problems which have been sorted, I think, long time ago, because government that is running this country. Because when you listen, the minister in this input, he spoke about there's a very serious problems with the municipality. Problem with this municipality. Where is the problem? Which party or which government is running this municipality? Then you ask yourself some question of whether are we going to come to conclusions, or are we going to be progressive or to deliver services to the people in the long run if we are still stuck with this thing of just complaining about each other. The municipalities, the people that are not doing this work in the municipality, majority of them are being deployed by the very same government, which what we call the KDA deployment to that. It is a problem with the municipality. But the problem is what? It's the government that is running this country. We went to Giani. We just found they just come and light what is happening. Together with National Treasury and COGTA, engaging on challenges inherent within the three spheres of government. Basically, what seems apparent is that the national department refuses to engage rigorously with respective stakeholders on strengthening the financial component of water service provision for citizens across the water value chain, which is a basic human right. We understand the constitutional delineation, but there appears to be no political will to unpack why this model is not working. Chairperson, second question, the Department of Water and Sanitation talks of the district development model, but the responses given today make a mockery of no attempt to work coherently to ensure a seamless approach to ensuring that citizens attain a reasonable right to water. But it seems as if neither the national department nor local government want to locate rights to water as a human right. What are the most evident challenges in implementing the statutory requirements at both national and provincial levels of government? Chairperson, the responses merely list the legislative and regulatory aspect to each of the recommendations, but very little and critical thought process on why the institution that fits the test are non-functional and do not have the capability to undertake basic aspects. Chairperson, we must begin to differentiate between lack of capacity and capabilities at all spheres of government. Chair, what are the current challenges encountered in the reconfiguration of water boards, and what criteria was used by the Department of Water and Sanitation in reconfiguring water boards? Chairperson, will the National Water Infrastructure Agency bill be tabled in Parliament this year? And if so, how will the election process impact the process? If a bill lapses in Parliament, then it would have to be reintroduced in the 7th Parliament. Has the department factored this in tabling the bill this 6th Parliament? Chairperson, lastly.
Yes.
Yeah, the last one, Chairperson. And you know, sometimes, you know, we speak about things that we see on the ground more than anything. As I, when I started, I said it was a good input by the DG, but these things, we don't see them on the ground. Chairperson, we had in the presentation the construction of pipeline from the Hoop Dam to Mogalakwena, which is a very good project, Chairperson. But the problem is, it's been some years, actually decades, the people of Sekhukhune, they don't have water. The Hoop Dam is nearer them. I'm coming from there. I don't even think Minister Kunu can stay in that area. We're coming from there. We push Igrivani every day, Minister. Siyahamba sofuna manzi. Akuna manzi abantu bayahlupheka lapho. It's a good project. The Hoop Dam is now going to provide or do a pipeline to Mogalakwena. But what about these people of Sekhukhune nearer to the Hoop Dam, whom every day we are hearing that there's a pipeline for decades now? The people are still suffering. There's no water in Sekhukhune. There's no water at Ramasha. Nearer the Hoop Dam. Kamalikani, there's no water. Go to Tetwaneng, there's no water, Chairperson. Jane Fest, there's no water. No water at all. The people are suffering. So when is this thing now going to happen? So we see them with the eyes. Because the people, we believe in seeing this thing happening. Not written down like they are written. There's a pipeline. What? At the end of the day, we don't see anything coming from those them. Chairperson, yes, the issue of reconfiguration of water board. So it is happening also in KZN. Where Mugeni
reconfiguration.
It's what I'm saying, Sage, listen. Chairperson, we just read recently. It's a good move, yes, but we just read recently that in KZN, the water board, we are experiencing a serious problem. There's an amount of 2 billion that went to irregular expenditure with regards to the issue of this water board of KZN. We read it on media. We don't want to hear it on media. I think this is the correct platform where we can hear what really transpired with this issue of irregular expenditure of 2 billion. It is really not very good. We want to hear from the horse mouth. I think the department, the officials are here. Please share with us so that we can understand without hearing it from the grapevine. Thank you so much.
Just in case of all of us not repeating the same, it should be different. Yes, I don't have a concept for scarf, and they must never be watered down. The purpose of this meeting today, it was caused because the department has responded to the speaker on the work done, and therefore the speaker was saying to me, what is
the
Chairperson. And with the heavy team, I then asked the motive behind the presentation. So this report is not that far. The speaker has received the report.
Chairperson?
And
we are losing you, Chairperson. We did not hear what you are saying.
He's disconnected now.
Should we continue and probably connect the chair?
Yes, Mr. Fitch.
Okay, so the chair will join us. Thank you with the presentation, the department. I felt like I'm working in the department in the manner in which the presentation is captured. Listening to the responses or the recommendations, I still don't feel that the department has got in the tips of their fingers the nature of challenges faced by the municipality on water and sanitation. If maybe the department can assist me there. You are mentioning these challenges, but I'm not sure if you as the department are able to figure them out concretely on what they are and for a possible solution. One, there's a picture on the chart that explained water from the rain catchments, dams, distribution centers, and all that, the sea evaporation and the like. You have got 3, 4, and 5 on that picture. You don't have 1 and 2. So it's difficult to read that 3, 4, and 5 in the absence of 1 and 2. Can you just look at it? The separations of the two acts, National Water Act and National and Water Service Act, you are saying in the presentation or the formulation of those acts are going to delay the allocation transformation. That's so important for us to note. But now, if transformation or water allocation transformation is being delayed, what are the interventions that will speed up those acts? Or in the absence of the act, there's nothing that we can do to continue with the program of transformation in relation to water allocation, because that's very important. The last one, I'm not sure whether the chair is back. I wanted to educate Member Masala on cadre deployment, but also ask him what do they call it on their side, because I know they have got a form of calling it, even if they cannot call it cadre deployment. So let me leave it there, because the chair is not, I was going to ask the chair to allow me. No, I have recovered.
Just stop yourself because you're out of order. You know,
you can feel
from the heart that you are out of order. Just sit down and focus.
Masala, can you share the meeting? I'm sorry, You were not yet,
so I wanted to reprimand you to sit down.
Don't reprimand during my meeting. Are you finished, Becky?
Yes, I'm done, Chief.
Mom, try.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies about my voice. I'm a little bit feverish. Good morning to all and a happy new year to all colleagues and the minister, deputy minister and the department. I'm worried about what happened when you wanted to reinforce the purpose of this meeting, Chair. I think one has a little bit of understanding. But the temptation, Chair, that one has are the areas that I believe that we should lift up for now and for the future, so that we don't find ourselves in the quagmire that we are in now. Allow me just to speak about... Can I continue, Chair? Am I audible, member? Thank you, Chair. I just want to raise few issues. Having understood the chairperson and the clarity that he wanted to make, we are saying as a department in our response that DWS should strengthen its oversight on the job creation by private sector. I want to present a different view. I want to present a different view, Chair. Limiting, please, should correct me. How do you have your oversight on something that you have not been told if the private sector is prepared to do or not? And how is it going to do it? My view is that, Chair, the private sector, when it appointed the Nsisi Shwai Construction Company, before it starts work, it should present to the department its plan for jobs to be created. Then the DWS will be able to oversee what he's been told is created by the private sector. You see, this issue of projects gets stopped and the department comes in to intervene on something that the department does not know if it's a culture of a private sector to do, is a problem. Nancy Schweiz company must present upfront how, where, in which areas in the project. That's my view, Chair. That's my proposal. That clause to me is subjecting the department to something that is not known. The second one, Chair, is the issue of the department, the national department, is giving grants for service delivery to municipalities. And in those grants, there's non-compliance. For an example, the MIG is an infrastructure grant. Perhaps the department will empower me. Is there a portion of me that should go to salaries? And then what happens? My worry is that the department is used as a messiah outside the constitutional directives of municipalities. Municipalities have got their constitutional mandate to make things happen. Now, the department is always intervening. I'm worried about the question that the ministers raised, input that the questioner raised, say, when you ask why did this happen, why didn't do it, there's no answer. What does that mean? When you are employed, you are being paid, and you presented your skills and you don't answer. So there is no accountability. and the department must come. It may happen that we lack the other area of what are the municipalities saying of their non-performance. We lack that report, their non-performance. But what we are hearing here, perhaps also going to empower even the speaker to know what caliber of municipalities do we have. The second one, Chair, is the role of WISIF and ARBIC, which is refurbishment. And now the department is proposing that should also enter an area of maintenance. Because the issue is there are many grants to municipalities, but what is not happening is implementation to make things happen. Now, the national department needs to come in to intervene on those particular issues. Now, this grant is very critical for bike infrastructure. And you are not even near to address those issues, which I believe the minister is doing very well. But now we are subjecting the department to other things. Maybe we need a report why municipalities are not doing their work, why they are not performing in the presence of COGTA. So I'm worried about this shift of WISIF and ARBIC role for a maintenance where there are many grants that are given to municipalities. The other issue, Chair, is the issue of money that is not spent to a municipality. The issue of shifting money, this money belongs to Nelson Mandela. It belongs to Nelson Mandela, a project in the Nelson Mandela. How I wish that that money is not taken away from Nelson Mandela or is not taken away from the Eastern Cape. Well, that money belongs to this community. It should not be taken to any other province. But first, it must identify projects of Nelson Mandela that need to be considered. There's an issue that I am not getting it from the private sector. The issue of the set-aside policy of government. The private sector should also in this plan to present about job creation, present how is it going to consider the program of transformation of government, the program of redress on the project that is being given to that particular private sector. Chair, the last one. The department seems to be creating a lot of structures for intervention for its performance, to ensure its performance. And to me, this seems to be, if municipalities could be able to identify why this is sort of saying municipalities, you are not performing. I see there are water sector forums, institute that are to be established outside the board and all other structures. How is the department going to monitor all of this in an area, which is a municipality, where there's no performance? I do want to request a report, Chair, why municipalities are not performing and consequences thereof. Consequences start from the mayor. From the mayor. To all those that are operationalists in the municipalities. Thank you very much for the presentation. Apologize, Chair, if we're doing something wrong in terms of this item. We are still fresh from holiday. Thank you very much. Ukhona mhlawumbe.
Chairperson, who's on the platform?
Can I go ahead and ask my question?
Can I make a proposal that is...
Thank you, Honorable Secretary.
Okay.
Chair, we can't hear you.
To make a proposal, Chair, that we identify someone to chair, but they will call chair with the chair when he's in. When the chair is able to be in, and then that person co-chairs with the chair, if the meeting allows. Otherwise, this is frustrating to the chair himself and us.
I see Robert has left. Can I go ahead and ask my question, please?
Yes, Mr. Basson.
Thank you very much. From my side, also thank you for the presentation to the department. I've just got two issues that I would like to raise with the DG. One is the implementing agent. I totally agree that in instances where municipalities don't have the capacity that we must insist that implementing agents need to be appointed. But then, Chairperson, I would like also to use an example where implementing agent has been appointed in the Maribeng water purification plant. Mahalis have been implemented. This project is now dragging on since 2016. It should have been completed, a portion of it in 2016. It's not been done because it's a kickstart by every time, and then the department is not paying, and then Mahalis can't fund it further. That kind of appointing an implementing agent and the department is not playing their financial role in financing this project. It delays these projects, and at the end of the day, we are paying much more for these kind of projects. So if we implement, we appoint the implementing agent, we must make 100% sure that the funding is available and all problems that could occur could be flushed out before the project starts when it comes to financing of this project. Secondly, Chairperson, and I think maybe the question I'm asking, I've got the answer, but I just want to get an idea. When the costing is being done by the implementing agent, I understand that they need also to make some money for their efforts. Are that capped? I believe I heard somewhere 10% on top of it, of the project, but can we get clarification on this part with the department? What is the cap? What the department would allow an implementing agent to add on to this project to make this project viable on both sides. Then the last question is, I totally agree that we need to move to prepaid water meters to municipalities that are culprits not paying for their water. I just would like to know from the DG whether that will also include raw water, whether we can also look at prepaid on raw water, because there's a lot of municipalities and in my own constituency, Maribeng, is one of those culprits that's not paying for the raw water, and the last that I got information, they owe the department somewhere in the region of 50 million rand for raw water. So if that could be clarified. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
The chairperson is still not on the platform. I suggest that the members nominate a co-chairperson until Mr. Chair Mashego is back.
Members, if I can assist this.
Take it along.
Yes, members to try. I was proposing members to try. But where's members to try? She's still there. Comrade, not people.
It looks like she disconnected also. Then it's you.
Can I volunteer if it's allowed?
Members, is it? Do you agree?
Member,
agree.
Can you? Okay. Who was next? Nosipo on the program, on the list?
It's the department's responses.
Okay, department. Let's allow you to talk to us. Unfortunately, the chair is not going to hear you, but I think. I know Nasipo has got own recordings. Okay, DG Minister.
Thank you very much. Let me allow DG, the presenter, to take the first opportunity. We will add what the gaps or whatever I will say. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, Minister and honorable members. I'm going to answer a few of the questions. I'm going to ask my colleagues to also come in and respond to some of them. The first question by Honourable Mokhtar to what extent do we engage with COGSA and National Treasury to be strengthening the financial components of the water sector? We do engage with them continuously, and as I indicated in the presentation, in December we had a workshop with them and National Treasury specifically on strengthening the financial situation in the sector and strengthening billing and revenue collection. We are going to be implementing the action plan from that in collaboration with National Treasury. Which includes standardized and credit control measures across all the water boards. With regard to the question about what challenges have been encountered in the reconfiguration of the water boards and what criteria are used in the reconfiguration, I'd like to ask our Chief Director for Institutional Oversight to come in and answer that. Focal.
Thank you, DG, Honourable Chair and Members. I will respond to Honourable Moshala around the challenges of the configuration. The first key challenge for us is the misinterpretation of the Gazette notice. It appears that the municipalities do not understand the intention of the reconfiguration of waterfalls. We have seen some of the municipalities that have responded negatively to our call and our intention to reconfigure, mainly the extension of Rainwater to Mpumalanga, and also the extension of Amadola water in Eastern Cape and in Western Cape. With regard to that, we are intending to have a corrective measure whereby we will provide a clarification and that the intention to reconfigure water boards is not to take over the municipal function. but it's mainly to support the municipalities in terms of the bulk supply where there is no access. And we have had some due delays in terms of the due diligence exercise because it has taken much longer to appoint independent consultants to do the due diligence report. In terms of the criteria, the key criteria was to look where there is currently no access in terms of bulk water provision and in terms of coverage and those water ports were prioritized, where also there are financial sustainability issues. Those struggling water ports like sediment water, which had liquidity challenges, where also there were issues around the ability to raise capital because water ports need to be self-financing. So in summary, Honorable Moshala, those are the issues that we considered when we prioritized water ports.
Thank you, Paul. Can you also talk to the issue of the irregular expenditure? I think it's related to Mgeni.
Yes. Thank you. It was also raised by Honorable Moshala, the issue of the 2 billion rand irregular expenditure. It is honorable, well documented in the annual report, and the transgressions are related to the deviations on approval on supply chain issues around competitive bidding. There was 108 million rand which was considered to be non-compliant. And there was also around 141 million, which is related to contract management, which is mainly the issues of the approval of variation orders. There was also an issue where the variation orders in excess of 20% were approved by the entity. But when they submitted their annual report on a quarterly basis, the minister has requested them to provide an intervention plan and a corrective measure of in terms of what they are doing with the officials that were involved in the breach of the supply chain procedure. Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, Doctor. Honourable Moshala also asked a question as to whether the bill, the NWIA bill, will be tabled in Parliament this year. The answer is yes. That is our intention to complete the public consultation process by approximately March with NEDLAC and the lenders of the TCTA, and then go to Cabinet for approval that it be presented to Parliament. There was also a question by Honourable Mokwala on the issue of water supply in Tekukuni. I'd like to ask our DDG for Water Services, Rizimati Mate, to answer that one. Rizimati?
Thank you, DG. The direct response to that is that we are aware of the challenges around Tekukuni, but we want to at least make a submission that there are several projects that the department is actually doing in Tekukuni. Just to give a summary, we have, as is well recorded, we have at least the Lost Cove project, which has been long outstanding, part of which is to try and provide more sustainable water provision to Tekukuni as one of the beneficiaries. There are also a couple of projects that are being done under WISTIC, because on an annual basis, the department do allocate funding through our WISTIC, which goes to various projects, for instance, upgrading of current water services, refurbishment and the like. But I also want to record few projects, DG and the Chair, that are being done in the area. We have the project that covers Naples, just to mention, there's NEBO bulk water system, which is currently funded by ARBIC, as the DWS, which is under construction. There's also the MUS bulk water system. This is apart from the LOSCO project that we are doing. There's also a Moyhoop bulk water system. So all these three are projects that have been that are being funded by ARBIC through DWS to try and provide water security in the Sekhukhune area. And of course, I've mentioned the project that we're doing, which is the LOSCO project. Over and above that, there are about five WISIC projects that are being implemented in the district municipality that are all aimed at securing water access in the area. In a nutshell, that is currently a few of the interventions in the medium and long term. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rizimati. Moving on to Honorable Seki's questions. The first one is, what is the nature of the challenges faced by municipalities and the causes of them? And also on the diagram that we put here, that diagram was a copy of a diagram produced by, not by ourselves, that we've that we're using to try and explain the roles and responsibilities. So number one in that diagram is the National Department, and number two is the Water Boards, and then number three is the Water Services Authorities. But with regard to our understanding of the causes of the challenges in the municipalities, I think generally the department's assessment is that the underlying core problem is weak governance and management in municipalities, which leads to a number of problems. There's also a big problem with corruption in municipalities, particularly related to supply chain, and that also results in has implications for poor water and sanitation service delivery. The weak management includes results in strong weaknesses in areas such as billing and revenue collection, in the supply chain management in the municipality and the management of projects, but it also means that in many municipalities, people with inappropriate skills have been appointed, for example, as heads of wastewater treatment works or water treatment works. The municipalities don't quite have the right skill set for the type of work that they're required, and they don't prioritize the technical skills that are required to manage water and sanitation functions like process controllers and engineers. In some instances, in some municipalities, even though they don't have the right skills to do the work, on the other hand, at the same time, they're overstaffed, so they don't have sufficient money to do the work that is required. And in many cases, the councils are not prioritizing the expenditure of their budgets in the right areas, such as on the maintenance of water and sanitation infrastructure. Alani, there was also a question by Honourable Turkey. Honourable Turkey indicated that while there's been delays with the amendments to the National Water Act, are we at the same time doing anything within the current legislation to reform water use allocation? And the answer to that is yes, we are doing a lot to try and reform water use allocation in the meantime, but Polani, who's our DDG for regulation, will elaborate. Polani?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, honorable members. As the DG has indicated, we have a water allocation reform program which we are implementing as a department. It's got a number of areas which we are looking at. Maybe one of them is where in catchment, where we are in control and we can be able to allocate water from our own dams or systems. We have set aside water for which we only reserve for the HDIs. And we also have a program that we are running in terms of our validation and verification of water use. You know, remember that most of water that has been registered is still in the hands of the previous advantage individuals. And then we need to and have a program that we are using in terms of Section 35 where we are verifying that water use. So far, we have verified about 50% of the properties. The aim is that once we got a picture of which water is in use and is also lawfully being used, then we can move on to the program where we issue a compulsory licensing program where we will be engaging all water users, per catchment, to apply using Section 43 of the Water Act. And then once we have been able to allocate that water, we develop a water allocation plan per catchment, and then in this plan we reserve water for HDI. So there are programs that we are using in terms of the Water Act, while we are trying as well to also amend the respective regulation.
Thank you very much, Kulani. Then there were several questions raised by Honourable Tikwai, which I'd like to again ask DDG Marty to answer. And the questions related to how we have control or how we're able to monitor something such as private sector job creation when we don't have control over it. What are the mechanisms that we use? The second was related to RBIG and WSIG and the control measures and the monitoring that we do with regards to RBIG and WSIG grants. And the third was Honourable Sikwai seemed to be saying that we take money away from municipalities when we move money from underspending projects to higher spending projects. As I explained in the presentation, Honourable Sikwai, we don't take the money away from municipalities permanently. We reallocate the money during the current financial year because the municipalities aren't able to spend it during the current financial year, and then we give it back to them in the following financial year. So the money isn't taken away permanently from projects or from provinces. Is it Marty, would you like to come in on the other issues, please?
Thanks, DG. When it comes to us controlling the issue of local employment, specifically where we're implementing a project, allow us to just clarify how the process is done, Chair, because when municipalities submit their WSIG business plan as well as their RBIG business plan, part of the requirement in the technical report, and this is basically within the DORA framework, they are expected to indicate to us what is the level of job creation. And these conditions go exactly into their internal tender documentation, which then they must source employment from the local people, part of which the monitoring also goes to local ward councillors, so that this whole value chain is controlled with all the relevant stakeholders. Now, what the department does, on a monthly basis, we get a progress report, we do site inspections, we conduct as well as progress reports on site, part of which the appointed contractor as well as the dedicated private service provider or professional service provider as in consultant. They then report in the presence of the municipality, who is basically the direct beneficiary, the number of jobs that are created, progress reports and so forth. If there are issues in terms of non-compliance locally, this information gets escalated directly to the relevant stakeholders, and it goes first to local councillors and the like. So the department is so much reliant, Chair, on the internal processes that the municipalities put in place and the conditions they put in the tender documentation when they advertise for such jobs. That is how the department basically gets involved in terms of monitoring, because that is delicate, you know, power move between the two departments, but it's the rest match with the municipality or the internal project management unit. On issues of RBIC and WSIG, how we control, as I've indicated in my answer, now DG, we have on a monthly basis, of course, progress meeting. We also monitor expenditure. These are conditions that are already in our framework that we need to monitor how municipalities are basically spending the money, if they're in compliance. And if they are found to be non-compliant, there are also conditions that the department cannot overlook. They need to comply with, part of which is to institute intervention methods. And hence, there are a lot of intervention methods that we put as a department to ensure that such monitoring systems are not found wanting. Which one was the other one?
I think that's fine, Mr. Mike. Thanks very much. There was also a question by Honorable Dick Wyatt asking whether we're not creating too many structures. Honorable Sikwai, we're actually reducing the number of structures with the measures that we're taking. The reconfiguration for water boards is reducing the number of water boards. With the decisions taken by the Minister related to catchment management agencies, we've reduced the originally envisaged number from 9 to 6. And also with the creation of the NWRIA, we are reducing the number of entities by amalgamating the TCTA with a water trading entity of the department. All of these structures are required in terms of the legislation. For example, the catchment management agencies are required. It's a requirement in terms of legislation to be establishment to get also water user associations. They're also required in terms of the legislation. The structure that we're focusing on, which is not yet required in terms of legislation, is the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. And I've spoken about the process of the bill in that regard. But that's not really creating a new structure. It's actually rationalizing existing structures by merging the TTA and the Water Trading Agency of the department. Turning to the questions asked by Honorable Basson, the first one I'd like to just briefly answer, and then I'd like to ask Rizzi Maite as well to come in with some detail. With regard to the suggestion for prepaid meters on raw water, it's a bit technically difficult because of the abstraction methods that are used for raw water often. But also our assessment is that the key risk that we need to focus on with regard to the financial sustainability of the sector is the risk of municipal billing and revenue collection and non-payment by municipalities for water boards. And that's why we focused on that in particular in the presentation. With regard to implementing agents, Honorable Basson is right. We have had problems in the past with the performance of some of our implementing agents. The historical performance of Lepeli Northern Water with regard to the Giani Water Project and the problems that have occurred there are well known. What we are doing now to try and prevent anything like that happening in the future is that we are being more careful with regards to the appointment of implementing agents, that we don't over-allocate projects to them where they don't have the capacity to manage them. And also that we are monitoring work of implementing agents more closely. And where we find that implementing agents are struggling, we are also supporting the implementing agents. So, for example, under the leadership of the Minister, the Department has been providing quite a lot of support to Lepeli Northern Water in recent months to ensure that the Giani pipeline project is completed. With regard to the Madibeng water treatment works and Makhali's water, Rizzi Maite, I'd like you to just talk to that in a bit more detail. And with regard to the question about the capping of the fees for implementing agents as well. Rizzi Maite?
Thanks, DG.
If with a pay fund and how you respond to it, we will not finish. You mandate somebody to speak more than twice. When in actual fact, as you give him the right to speak, why don't he speak on everything that he wants to respond to, rather than you speak after speaking, you instruct, you speak after speaking, you instruct, then the meeting will not end in that sense. And I take point that you are giving better answers, it's okay, but the manner in which you are doing it is not necessarily consistent with the people. I'm not stopping myself to speak, but I'm saying let's change the approach.
And noted chairperson, this is the last item
let
now.
Let Martin speak to five.
Rizzi Martin's response is the last response.
Thanks, Rizzi. on the caving of the IA fees, it ranges between 5% and 10%, but it depends on what scope of work is covered in that agreement. For instance, if the implementing agent is only doing program management without doing like the engineering design, putting together tender documentation, and only just coordinate various contractors and different private service providers, the fee will be much more lesser. However, if they are involved as far as doing the scoping report, putting together tender documentation, providing construction monitoring, and also acceleration of planning and development for the municipality, then the fee changes. But all these fees are always aligned to the Engineering Council of South Africa fees, especially on the professional side. On the Madibeng project, which the DG requested me to respond on, yes, the honourable member is correct. The Mahalis Water is the implementing agent. That project is basically nearing completion in the breath treatment work. The committed completion date is towards end of March. It is basically phase one of which started way back. And then there's also phase two that has been completed. The civil work sitting now at 90%, with some electrical work about 12% or so, but the committed completion work for the upgrade of the treatment work from 60 to 80 megaliters is basically set for end of March. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. That brings us to the end of our responses to the Parliament.
It's like Church having a problem again as I was texting. Please guide us. What is the next item?
I'm here.
Okay.
Just before we move, Mr. Solomon, thank you for having taken over whilst I'm in trouble. I think I was consistently in trouble. I don't know where you are. That crisis on terms of processing. But if it does happen, please don't be afraid to take over. I will not be. But let me just, I know that I did not get the chance to raise my questions before, but as I was saying in the audience, that the purpose of the meeting really was for us to understand the thrust of how the department responds to the speaker, because the speaker would have wanted to know what is our take, and we were not necessarily in touch with what the department has given. It's unfortunate that the approach took a different turn, but it does not matter. We still did the work. We engaged a bit on why the report was given like that. So we do need to, members, having had the responses by the minister in response to our visit in the Eastern Cape and all other places that we're speaking about, to read the document and say then that what is it that we believe that we are not happy about in the process, if it is a response to the speaker, and what is the proposal we're making to the department to better in moving forward. Having said that, Honourable Mushala, because we are in the meeting and I have realized that there are other people outside our in this meeting. If it is not corrected, it might be seen to be correct. It is not necessarily correct that all municipalities in South Africa are run by the ANC. It is not correct. There are municipalities that are run by the EFL and so that are run by the DA, and so that are run by the coalition of all other parties. When you speak, I never interjected, Mushala. Mushala, don't do that. Because if you
that is run by the EFF?
No, but it's a municipality. It's either the one chancellor, the municipality, and so forth and so on. You have done this remove your mayor, deputy mayor in all days, and then it's part of the running of the deputy mayor. So you cannot be opportunistic when things suit you. You want to take a credit when you not want to take a problem. But to me, is that yes, municipalities have got problems, and then we must help. And in my input, I would have said to the DG that, look, all these regulations that Honorable Mutala correctly said that you are giving responses to me, those responses must be underpinned by the fact that the water is the back stop with the minister in terms of water circulation, I mean in terms of water supply. When South Africans do not have water, the Department of Water must answer. Yes, you are going to delegate responsibilities to sometimes boards, sometimes the municipalities to the civil state and so forth and so on. But the fundamental person to answer if there is no water in the country is ourselves, the Department of Water and Sanitation National. So expect that from me, G, was to say to us, with all these regulations that are there, what is it that we want to do? Because really you know now that these parties are not going to meet their commitment in terms of payment because the revenue base is not there. What are we going to do? How are we going to intervene on the parties that will pay to pay the board? For instance, if you say, for the board to give water to Echo Lane, for instance, they must pay first. If they do not pay, you will not give them water. You are now contesting the thing that Mutala said. Water is a right. And how do you say buy a right in order for you to access? Yes, water is no longer free, but we must get the way of a buffer that does not take away that right from a person, but also that does not give away the right of the board to collect their money. We must find a way. We cannot just put regulations in front of in faces of people as if it is business as usual. It is not business as usual. We need to behave differently. People that need water. In the olden days, Mutala, in Kokodenfest, you used to go and fetch water for Kokodenfest. That thing does no longer help anymore. People are no longer drinking that water because that water is no longer there. So it is a right that people must have, and in having it, there must be also a right for municipalities to collect. Then find a balance. That's what I'm saying, we need to find a way of circumventing that view. And the DG must give us hope that there is a way in which we are going to circumvent that process where people, only for them to drink water, they must go and buy water when they are not employed, they have got no money. And we are just putting regulations in front of them. I'm not provoking a discussion again because I could have said that then the issue would have, I'm sure the minister in his parting ways might want to talk to this issue. The point I'm making, the department can't close its hands on the air and say, if municipalities are not giving water to people, what can we do? It is not supposed to be like that. The minister must be in a position to say, I am now stepping in. And to me, we need to find an unconventional way of dealing with them. For instance, we have got unspent budget. We have given figures that we have in the financial year ending, we have unspent plus minus 40 billion rand. And how do we want to place this away from an unconventional way of thinking? So to me, that this is the minister, you have got the opportunity to can deal with these issues, because we cannot consistently throw our hands on the air and say municipalities are failing. We have a responsibility to intervene, not necessarily to interfere, but to intervene. We were to move to another point, Minister. I don't know whether you want to say something before we move to the second point.
Yeah, just to make a few statements. The first one is in relation to water provision. Or water services.
The minister is speaking, Mudala. Mudala, the minister is speaking.
Yes, my I'm not interfering.
I did not give you the right to speak, Mudala.
I've got a follow-up question. Am I going to do the right thing before the minister it's just a question I'm asking. I've got a follow-up question. So my question is, if I wait for the minister to speak or as I do them after the minister?
No, I did not give you the right to speak. No, don't answer.
Don't make a crisis here. There's no crisis. I'm just asking. I've got follow-up question. Am I going to do it after the minister or now? Simple like that.
We'll make that follow-up. Let the minister.
Good response.
No, thank you very much. There's a statement.
Let the minister speak. You will ask your follow-up question. Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Mashiro. This is what I wanted. Minister, I just wanted to respond. Thank you so much.
There was a statement that was made by one of the honorable members. There's no water in Skukune and counting villages there, but also adding that there have been plans and they have never been implemented. Well, I don't know, Resimati did respond, but I want to say that the current plan was which is a partnership between us as a water and sanitation department and Libalelo, which is an association of water users, including mines. We launched this partnership on the 27th of October last year, that is 2022. When we launched it, we also on the same day launched the first project of the partnership in the form of a pump station whose foundation, when we launched, was being started. All equipment was there, and for sure there is a progress in that regard. It was the first project to demystify launching of projects without visible progress. And honorable members can go there and see for themselves how far we are with that first project of the partnership. As we say, it's a 24 billion project. It will cover between 5 and 6 years. Now, the villages that the honorable member is talking about are part of the 38 villages that are going to benefit, all of them in Skukune. But that is the eastern wing of the project, around Pegasford and related places. But there's a left wing of the project, which is basically Flag Boshiel to Mkhalakwena project. The same project, but its left wing, which will cover 96 villages and mines there, but all of them in this period of building between 5 and 6 years. So this is the reality, this is the concrete, and we can see progress as we move on in the years. But then there are various schemes which Rishimati referred to. And the second thing that I want, the second statement that I want to make, in fact, I'm not confining myself to Skunde. There are other similar projects all over who have just completed Branfle, which is a very important project for farmers in Poland and the Western Cape. But I don't want to go on and waste your time throughout the time. There are projects that are ongoing that we can touch concretely. The second one is reconfiguration. Togo did respond, but just to say that much as there are attendant challenges, but we're going on smoothly with this process, and by end of March, we should see completion of much of, or the greater part of reconfiguration. They will then remain with the processes like human resource, some financial issues and so on. The third one is around, I think another member said, who says the department doesn't understand challenges of water in municipalities. I think that that's it could be an overstatement, or it could be from where the honourable member stands. We will accept that from your point of view, but from our point of view, we believe we understand clearly the challenges, not just of municipalities, but of each municipality. We may not be doing or resolving water-related issues in all of them at the same time. But we understand, generally we understand the challenges of municipalities on water, and we are intervening. As to why municipalities like the state, it's not a question that we will answer. It should be referred to local government department. But what we can say is that we understand the challenges. And as and when we see problems, we make an effort to resolve them, as precisely because of what the chair was saying, that we can't stand by and just look on when people don't have water. As I speak, when we finish this meeting, we are engaging Mangaunga. I think this is for the third time. And we're not just generalizing on those. We are dealing with specific projects, specific problems, aimed at resolving current challenges in Mangaung. And we're confident that if we are going to reach agreements between us, the board, and Mangaung, and then we will then resolve the problems of the specific city. At the same time, we're engaged in the win by an assessment we made, and we're engaging them going forward. We are all over intervening purely on the basis of rights of people to access clean water, which is our responsibility. But we are performing that responsibility together with municipalities to the best of our ability, working with them via various mechanisms. On Monday, with our steering committee, which I chair and co-convene it with the premier there, who will be in Northwest, dealing with a range of issues throughout the municipalities that side. After we went to Northwest and we realized that we need to coordinate at that particular level and resolve these problems, but we will be dealing with the problems and challenges of each of the municipalities that will be affected, and the report will be led by our steering committee, led by DDG Rusimati. We do understand the challenges. Then the next one, I think they answered it on grants and so on. But just to simplify this, all these grants while meat goes there via provinces, we look at WISNIC and the Arabic, and we try our best to make sure that there's value for money. Of course, it's going to take a long time to turn municipalities around, because the way they are performing, even on water, isn't satisfying at all, but we're doing our best to make sure that there's value for money and progress. And then the last one is on job creation. 2 weeks ago, we were in Molweni in KZN, where we were looking at two of the four sites where the main pipes broke during the storms. The aqueducts 1 and 2. Now aqueduct 1 has been completed, we have reinstated supply of water via that aqueduct, which is assisting stabilizing water. But when we went to the two sites, we met a local Induna, local councillors and communities. On their own, without us asking, they thanked us and the board for employing, even if temporarily, local people when those repairs were done to the pipes, because they included a range of issues, not just reconnecting pipes, but in some cases you had to build pillars so that the pipes would cross some of these rivers where pipes were broken across, in other words, higher up through those via those pillars, instead of the pipe crossing on the ground or below or beneath the riverbed, as it had been the case. We're doing this for resilience. So I'm saying people on their own are attesting that they do get employment from time to time, as and when there are various projects on the ground. Mopane alone is going to be appointing no less than 39 contractors, and in the course of reticulating water that come from Nandungu, they will be employing people from that area or from those communities. So it does happen. We can attest to that. Thank you very much.
Just exigency, Chair, if you're still around. Minister, I hear you. On my question, I was not really saying the department doesn't understand the challenges in the municipality. I was saying, does the department have the challenge, Chair?
I refuse to allow you to speak. I will fire you. The minister is responding, and he has responded very well. When you will be able to chair the meeting, because I mean that you can continue putting your things, everyone. Can you move?
No, mine is very straightforward. I was just saying to the minister, I was not saying the department doesn't understand, but I was asking if the department does have the challenges faced by the municipality in their hands, like on the fingers of their tips. And the minister is saying yes, although their intervention is limited, for instance. And that's the question. I couldn't say the department doesn't understand. whereas the department is the one that always briefs us on the challenges that faced by municipality. Thank you. I don't know whether Member Mshala still wants to come in, Chair. Well, it seems as if Member Mshala is no more there. No, Sipo, are we closing?
Yes, Chairperson, we are done.
Thank you very much, members, department. Thank you very much. The meeting is officially closed. Thank you.